start here.
One.
Three.
Okay, just a reminder before we have Tom come up, we've got lovely literature here. Our literature lab.
Very lovely.
You're good.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tom, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tom.
Good to be here today. Good to be among friends. I'm surprised how many people I know here today. I thought I'd know very few people. First of all, I want to say thank God for Overeaters Anonymous. And I mean thank God for Overeaters Anonymous, because this program has changed me in so many ways in my years here. It's only through a connection with a higher power that I was able to do, with God's help, with my higher power's help, what I was able to do here in Overeaters Anonymous. So thank God for Overeaters Anonymous. So the reason I said I didn't think I'd know too many people is because I travel a lot now for work. I retired from when, Harry, you look very retired, by the way. I retired about 10 years ago from my occupation, and then I got another job. I got a job as a reservist for the federal government, like 8.5 years ago, which takes me out of town, out of state all the time, and sometimes out of the country. And so my new address is 1-800 Marriott. If you're ever looking for me, just call the call JW Marriott. We're very good friends. And so I was in Missouri all last winter, and I want to tell you, Overeaters Anonymous is alive and well in Mid Missouri. They call it Mid Mo. Went to meetings in Mid Mo. And the year before, I was in Maryland, and Overeaters Anonymous is alive and well in Maryland. And the year before that, I was in New Jersey, and OA was alive and well in New Jersey. And actually, the meetings were really, really good. And I was going where I was in Jefferson City, Missouri last winter, and there was one meeting on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And, they thought I was the guy from, I was a California guy, you know. It was so funny. And they all wanted to know if they were doing it right or not. You know, it cracked me up. They're using the World Service meeting format. And they had a great meeting, good people. It was about six or seven ladies and a guy named Charlie. So, of course, I named the meeting Charlie's Angels, you know. And I left there in the end of March, and it was a good group. And, everywhere I go, there's Overeaters Anonymous. And I always look for OA almost first. You know, when I got to Missouri this year, I got there on a Saturday morning, and I called the number, and I got a hold of it. I was in the meeting the next day. Because meetings are important to me, you know. I think the fundamentals are very important, you know, like the foundation, the steps in the foundation. Because, you know, I'm building a skyscraper here. I'm not pitching a tent. You know, a tent, a little peg, and you come and go. And my first 10 years of program, I gained 100 pounds, and I came and went, and, you know, and I had these little pegs. But now I'm building a personal skyscraper, and my foundation is deep, and real deep. And when you have a skyscraper, you have to go to the foundation often. I go to my foundation often. And the foundation are the real basics of the program for me. And, of course, sponsorship is one of them. And I got my first sponsor. I know the day. It was January 16th, 1989. It was 25 and a half years ago. I've been in the program 35 years. It's hard. I don't even want to say the number of years. I want to say July 1979. Because if I say that, it doesn't sound like 35 years. But it's been 35 years in Overeaters Anonymous. And I wasn't always a practicing member. I didn't always have a sponsor. My first 9.5 years in program, I gained 100 pounds. And it was one of the reasons was because I did not have a sponsor. And I came back to the program in around September 88 after being in and out, and getting all these little welcome chips, you know, and these little key tags and everything, and welcome back. I got to say, welcome back, Tom, you know, and, oh, you're back again, huh, you know, like that. And then, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. So on January 15th, 1989, I went to work, and I weighed 305 pounds, and I went into the, first of all, I went and shopped for my food because I just worked 24-hour shifts. So I went and got shopped for my food, and believe me, I ate a lot that first day of absence, and I ate today, but it was very absent for me at the time. And I went into the bathroom. I worked at a fire station. I worked in the fire station. I went in the bathroom and closed the door. I got on my knees, and I prayed for two things. The first thing was none of the other guys would walk in the bathroom when I was on my knees. And you guys still laugh at that joke. Thank you. I've been saying this for 25 years, and you still, God, I really appreciate it. And the second thing I prayed for was the second thing I said, this is bigger than me and I need help. I cannot do this alone. I can't do this alone. So that day I made it. You know, sometimes I went 5 minutes at a time. Sometimes I went 10 minutes at a time. And I literally sat in a kitchen, looking at a clock. It's like this clock. And I said, I'm not going to eat for 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, I said, I'm not going to eat for 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, I'm not going to eat for 5 minutes. And then what would happen is eventually I would get distracted and I wouldn't think about food for a while. Then sometimes I'd go back, I'm not going to eat for a minute. You know, I'm going to make a phone call. You know, I used to say I'd make a, this is my only thing, and I hope I'm right, that I ever really added in as an original in Overeaters Anonymous. I used to make phone calls for dessert, you know, because I'd finish a meal and I wasn't done eating. You know what I mean? Like, this is all I get, you know? Like when my first meeting, they said, okay, we used to have the gray sheet then, and the gray sheet was a food plan. And this woman said to me, okay, Tom, you get like 4 ounces of turkey, 4 ounces of chicken, 4 ounces of this, four. I said, oh, that would make a nice sandwich. And they said, no, you get one. One? What are you talking about? I'm out of here, you know? So, and so that day I ate a lot less than I ate today, you know, but at the end of the day, I was abstinent, you know, and it felt good. And I woke up the next morning. It was January 16th, 1989. I hadn't lost a pound. I was the same size, but I felt a lot different. I had 24 hours of abstinence, and I was not willing to give up 10 minutes of it. And believe me, I'm not willing to give up 10 minutes of it today because the changes I've made in my life. I'm 140 pounds less. I've had the weight off now for, I hit goal weight, my original goal weight, exactly 1 year to the day, and my last week of losing abstinence, I lost 6 pounds. You don't do that after you've been losing for a year. You don't lose 6 pounds in a week. So 1-800 sponsor. I said, now what do I do? I'm on maintenance. I said, what do you know? And of course, he was there for me. He guided me right through it. You know, so there's a thing here in our little book for today. On August 6th, it says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Overeaters Anonymous appeared in my life when I was ready for it. Actually, it appeared in my life 10 years before I was ready for it. You know, I was not ready for it. You know, I wanted to lose the weight, but I didn't want to give up the food. And I figured you guys had a secret, you know. You guys had some sort of secret where you could keep eating and you could lose the weight. What is it? Give me the secret. You know, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But that wasn't the case. This is, I was not spiritually teachable. I was not spiritually teachable. I was an agnostic on a good day. I didn't believe in a higher power. I graduated from high school in 1968. In 1968, we had a war in Vietnam. We killed 1 million Vietnamese. We had Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated, and Martin Luther King was assassinated. I said, there cannot be a God. There cannot be a God. And I went on that for 20 years. And in and out of OA, I kept questioning God. You know, I was not spiritually teachable until my illness forced me to look in that direction. It appeared all that was left. No human power could relieve my compulsion. That's what I said in the beginning when I said, thank God for OA. Because no human power can relieve this obsession for me. It has to come from a higher power, you know. And it says, I am not entirely free of the pride and arrogance that shut out growth. The process of recovery seems to involve alternately giving up my will and taking it back. See, I'm real willful, you know. I have a will, you know, and I have willpower in many areas of my life. I do. I really do. I really, really do. But not in this area, you know. I'm without will and I'm without control. I have no control. No control. But I take my will back in this area too, you know. And I think, oh, I can eat this, you know. This will work today. I'm at goal weight. This will work, you know. When I was working in Missouri last year, I went to work one morning, and there was coffee. And next to coffee, there was, you know, the sweet stuff. And I said, oh, I can have one. I go, no, if you come back, if I have one, I'll eat the whole box. I'll come back and finish it off. So, you know, sliver, slice, slab, I'll eat the whole thing. But for that moment of insanity, and I was brought back by my higher power, I was brought back for the one moment, I can have one. You know, I can have one. And man, it's like, well, thank God. Thank God for OA, because without OA, I would have had that one. It would have been sliver, slice, slab again one more time, you know. And it says, this creates periodic setbacks, but each time it happens, I learn something new. And it says, for today, I have 3 ways of checking out my teachability. Am I open to suggestions? Do I avoid judging without investigation? Do I seek to know and do God's will? And so when the student was ready, the teacher appeared on January. I had 1 day of absence, January 16th, 1989, and I walked into an Overeaters Anonymous meeting that no longer exists in Citrus Heights. I think it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I met this guy named Joe, and Bonnie knew Joe, yeah. Bonnie's probably the only one in the room that knew Joe. Very interesting guy. super intellectual, super IQ. He was a custodian in a school. He said it was his. He could clean it. He cleaned toilets for his own humility, you know. And I asked him to be my sponsor. He said no, but I'll take you through the steps. And to me, that's the same thing. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, okay, dude, you are my sponsor, whether you know it or not. So I started losing. So I was abstinent. I started losing weight. I started losing weight pretty fast, and I got a lot of attention. I got a lot of attention my first couple of years losing with the weight loss. And then nobody here. Oh, I got pictures. I have pictures here somewhere. They're down here. Okay, we got the mafia picture. We got at my daughter's wedding. It looks like Don Tomasi from the Mafia, you know. And then I got one picture at about 290. Oh, really? This looks like serious mafia stuff here. And then with my grandson and my kindergarten picture. Aw, it's okay. I'll pass those around. Oh, man, where was I now? What was I talking about? But anyway, so I met this guy, Joe, and I was losing weight. And all I was, at the time, I was just really focused on the physical, you know. Not realizing what it says in the big book, that when the spiritual malady is solved, the physical and emotional will follow. I didn't realize the spiritual had to come first. So this guy came over to my house, and I make a pot of coffee, and we would sit there and drink coffee, and all he would talk about was God. And I'd say, Joe, I lost 3 pounds this week, and then he continued talking about God. And then I'd say how good my food plan was, and he continued talking about higher power. And then I would tell him how good I was doing and how I was speaking at all these meetings, and I was just I was Mr. OA, and he would keep talking about God, you know, and just kind of nod his head. I mean, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? You've lost 90 pounds. Isn't that nice? And then he could keep talking about it. And that's all this guy's message was the spiritual malady has to be solved. And I didn't get it for a long time, and now I know that it's a spiritual disease. It's a disease of the spirit that I act out with food, you know. I act out my own will with food. If I'm doing the will of my higher power, it's not with food. It's with grace, with dignity, it's with love and kindness, patience and tolerance, you know. And that's how I live my life today. And after 3 years, I guess I fire him, I let him go. You know, and he was really good for me. I don't know why I let this guy go. And I haven't seen him in OA now in 20 years or longer. But one of the things he used to tell me was, he used to quote Thomas Jefferson and say, the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance. And, you know, vigilance happens to be the spiritual principle of step 10. And so when I've literally said yes to sponsoring 100 guys. I mean, probably. I mean, just estimating 100. How many have called me this first time after I said yes? Not that many. How many have I taken all through the steps? Not very many. How many have I taken through all the steps and all the traditions? Not very many. You know, really. Because in this book here, it's over here. Down here. Excuse me. What the hell is it? Oh, here it is. This is the original 12 steps of OA. I have read step one with more people in this book than you could possibly imagine. You know, and when they say when the book is falling apart, the owner usually isn't. You know what I mean? It's like, hopefully that's true with me. But, so this guy Joe took me through the steps, and then I agreed, and then, when I had like, what time did I start? 10 after? 2:10, yeah. So when I had about 7 months of abstinence, this guy asked me to be a sponsor, and I said, oh, no, I'm not ready yet. I've only lost 80 pounds. I've like 50 pounds to lose or something, and whatever it was. And I'm only on step 7. He goes, yeah, but I still want you to be my sponsor. I said, oh, I'm not ready yet. And then let me talk to my sponsor. So I called Joe and asked him, and he said, absolutely. I said, oh, my God, now what, you know? So I just did what this guy did with me, is we just sat down and read. We just read, you know, we read the steps. You know, I'd read a paragraph, he'd read a paragraph, and I'd encourage him to share as often, as much as he wanted to. And if it took 4 hours to get through there's 16 paragraphs in the first step. And I've numbered them because I write on them. And one of the ways I go through the steps and take people through the steps is we number the paragraphs, write on paragraphs 1 through 16, and then share what you wrote. And sometimes it's nothing, sometimes it's a lot. You know, sometimes it's, I really hit a gold mine on one particular paragraph, and sometimes I don't. But that's how I do it. So I sat down with these guys and I started doing it that way. And it's worked real. And I got that from a suggestion from a guy. I worked in LA a lot. and I met a guy that was actually no, I met him when he was in he was a comedian. He was in Laughs Unlimited. He was a mainliner at Laughs Unlimited, and he came to an OA meeting one day. I had no idea. He said, I live in Los Angeles, and I'm here on business. I didn't realize it was business, but he was in the show business. And so I got together with this guy. I actually went down to L.A. and they took me to a Raiders, him and a bunch of comedians took me to a Raiders game. And comedians don't try to be funny when they're not on stage. These guys are real. And I was trying to be funny, you know? It's like, and I'm not very funny when I'm around a bunch of people who are professional comedians. You know, it's like, these guys, they're kind of somber, you know? And but this guy told me about working the steps this way, about doing the paragraph. So I did it that way, and I've done it through the whole, and I mean the whole big book twice, 570 pages twice, every paragraph, and I've been through the first 164 pages a third time writing. Because what it said for me was I had to keep ahead of this disease, you know. This disease is out to get me. It's out to get me. It wants me to go. Tell me it's okay to go to have all 31 flavors today, because I'll get back on track tomorrow. You know, it told me that many times over the years. It told me my first phone call ever was to this guy right here in 1988, when right before I got abstinent. I called him when, you know, we used a telephone, big tool, you know, phone call for dessert. I called John. I'm at work. There's a dozen donuts there, and the normies were tearing them in two, you know, and having little pieces. And there's like eight and a half left in the box, you know. So I called John. I go, John, this is Tom from OA. He goes, oh, hi. He says, I've never made one of these calls before. John said, I've never gotten one. And I said, I wonder what they talk about. He said, I don't know. But you know, that little conversation with someone else who understood who I was talking about changed that day for me. You know, I didn't find it necessary to do that. But, you know, the sponsorship is this, it's such a fundamental tool of the program. And if you don't have one, get one. I waited nine, I mean, I always say I'm a good example of a bad example. I waited like kicking stuff. I was in the program almost 10 years before I got a sponsor. I was in the program 10 years and gained 100 pounds, so I realized that my way didn't work, you know? You know, I was trying to do like Tom Anonymous or Tom OA, you know? And ironically, there's all kinds of different, some of you know, there's all kinds of different OA programs, OA How. They got the FA now, and they got the, in different parts of the country, there's like Boston, there's like a North Bay food plan, Cambridge food plan, South Bay food plan. It's like, Boston's like a war zone in OA. It's like, damn. And I was back there 1 year, and I went to, I thought it was OA, it was something called Gray Sheet Anonymous. It was on, I went to Harvard Yard. This guy says, my house burned down and I didn't have to eat over it, and that's all he had. And all they talked about there was food and their food plan. The guy said his house burned down and he didn't have to eat over it, and that was his whole entire share. And so it's, you know, it's like, but I don't know where I was going with that either. But the sponsorship thing, it's so fundamental. It talks about it in the doctor's opinion. When he gives his opinion on the program of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1935, Dr. Silkworth calls it an altruistic movement. And I didn't know what that word meant, so I had to look it up in the dictionary. And we help each other, you know. Each one teach one. Joe taught me, I've taught other people, you know. And I do it his way, you know, because that's the only way I know. You know, people do it, I've never seen this stuff before. I didn't know there was a sponsorship kit. I'm probably doing it wrong, you know what I mean? And so it talks about, you know, in Bill's story, he talks about this guy named Ebbie Thatcher coming over to his house and saying, I'm sober. He goes, how'd you do it? He goes, I found God. You did what? I found God. And then Bill didn't know what to do. And he said, he told Dr. Silkworth, I'm going to try to help other people. And that's what we do here. We're all wounded. There's no physicians. We're all wounded healers, you know. And Joe was a wounded healer. I'm a wounded healer. I don't do this thing perfectly. I do not do this perfectly. My food plan is not perfect, you know. There's a woman in L.A., her name is Annette, and I've heard her talk a bunch of times, and she talks about having the disease of perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And I have the disease of perfectionism and perceptionism. I perceive you're doing this better than me, you know. And if I'm not perfect, it's all 31 flavors. And what I found is that imperfection, the middle of the road, works for me, you know. So when these guys, so after... Bill got sober. He went to this woman's house and met this proctologist named Bob Smith. And then he helped Bob. And then see, they didn't wait a year to sponsor. They went to a hospital, a drunk hospital, back to Towns Hospital, 16 days after Bob was sober. And I don't go, I'm not a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way. I am not. I just learned all this in Overeaters Anonymous. I'm an OA person. This was the first 12-step program I ever came to. Okay, I'm not Alky come to OA and teach. I'm not, you know, or preach, you know, and we have a bunch of those too. And, and they went back to the hospital with six. The only reason I know this is because it says in the book this happened on June 26, 1935. They met on June 10th. Bob Smith had 16 days sober, and he's helping someone else. You know, it's like that's how it works. Each one teach one. You know, and then it goes on and on to the book, and then it talks about this one woman. I think it was the alcoholic three. His wife, and she goes. She said to Bill Wilson, "Why do you do this?" He says, "Because it makes me so. It makes me feel so good to help someone else. You know, it makes me feel so." And I do volunteer work outside of the program. I do a place downtown for people who are down and out on Fridays. You know, and like it's an exhausting 3 hours, but I feel so good when I leave that place. And I go. I have a little group at Folsom Prison on Thursday nights. And that's exhausting too. But I leave the prison, I feel so good after helping someone else. It feels so good to have. And it talks about it here in chapter 7, working with others. It says, practical experience shows us that nothing will do so much to ensure immunity from overeating as intense work with other compulsive overeaters. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. And it's so true. It's been true for me, you know? It's like, if I'm helping someone else, you know what I'm really doing? I'm telling them what's up with me that day. You know, when I go through this book with a newcomer and I read step one and we're reading these paragraphs, what I'm sharing is what's going on with me that day, what I need to say, you know? And I have a current sponsor I've had for 6 years, and this guy's just, he's cool. He's just a good guy. He lives in San Leandro. Good guy. I just love him to death. And his history was he was president of an African American motorcycle club in Oakland, like in the 70s. He was a terror, you know. And now he's just the coolest guy you ever want to meet. Gentle soul. I'm going down to see him Tuesday. We're having lunch on Tuesday and going to a meeting. Just a gentle soul. And that's what this program does, you know. It just makes us gentle souls, you know. It's made a whole new Tom out of me, you know. That tough exterior that I got from my dad, you know, I was called CIA, Catholic Irish Alcoholic Family, you know. That CIA family and that CIA, and I still look like them and I still snarl like them and frown like them sometimes, but it just changed me. It just melted me, you know. And then in Dr. Bob's story, talks about, they ask him why he still does this. They go, man, you've been doing this forever and ever. I've got to find Dr. Bob's story here. Don't you love it when someone looks through the book and they can't find what they're looking for and they keep looking anyway? Here we go, Dr. Bob's nightmare. He says, I spend a great deal of time passing on what I have learned to others who want it and need it badly. I do it for four reasons. A sense of duty. Yeah, I feel obligated. I feel obligated to pass on, to teach. And it says, it's a pleasure. And it is a pleasure. Out of all these things, it's just an absolute pleasure to do this, to work with other people, you know. And I got together with a friend yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock. I've known in this program for 25 years, and I don't sponsor him. He could sponsor me in a heartbeat. We had iced tea together downtown. It was just great. It's just a pleasure to get together with people. And it says, and then the third one is because in doing so, I'm passing my debt to the man who took the time to pass it on to me. And that's what I'm doing for this guy, Joe. You know, he took his time. He didn't have to do that. He worked nights. You know, he'd be at my house at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, and he'd help me. He went through divorces and all kinds of stuff. And he was married to a woman in OA like 25 or 30 years ago. And he went through a divorce and lots of stuff, you know, and he took time. He took his time for me. So I take my time for other people. It's like paying it forward, you know. And the fourth reason he continues to pass on is because every time I do it, I take a little more insurance on myself against the next possible slip. And that's true, too. That's the absolute truth, too. So, you know, I didn't say anything I was planning on saying about sponsorship, But I can tell you that sponsorship is really where it's at, and I have a sponsor. I hope you have a sponsor, and I think my time is out. Thank you. Okay.
I think you're set.
Good. Thank you.
So here's a question. Did anybody come in after we counted?
Okay.
So we counted numbers.
Thank you.
So we're going to be over here. Oh, and
hey, can I have a suggestion?
Yes.
Could we count again? Because the people I was are really, really mean, and they laughed at me, and they hurt my feelings. That's a lie. I'm a liar. I had one some experience, strength, and hope from different people.
Yeah. And again, your last pitch to buy literature, okay, and the sponsorship kits. Bonnie. Thanks.
Oh, you're good.
Okay, we're good? Okay.
You're good.
Hi, I'm Bonnie, compulsive reader.
Hi, Bonnie.
You know, Tom is a hard act to follow.
So are you.
But, and I have his permission, I am going to tell a little Tom story. I think he probably shared that he was a fireman. And we used to do our retreat at Christ the King Retreat Center. And this... And Tom, being, you know, he took care of himself, you know, he brought his own food. The next thing you know, these fire engines are coming to Christ the King. Here's the firemen. The fire engines are coming to Christ the King Retreat Center because somebody set off the fire alarms with their toaster. Fireman Tom. Oh, it's a bagel. He burnt the bagel. Fireman Tom burning the bagel. Anyway, I like to start with that story. I've been in OA, you know, quite a long time, 30 years. And so I'm going to start a little bit about when I first came in. We didn't have the OA 12, or as Tom showed, then it was called the 12 and 0, before we got the 12 and 12. And we used the big book and the Alcoholics Anonymous book. And I remember when they would, and when I first came in, I was quite a bit overweight, and I was kind of, and I couldn't believe the things that the people shared in those meetings. But I remember they talked about in the book, you know, they used to go to the hospitals and they would ask people if they could sponsor them. And I remember I wanted a sponsor so bad, but I wanted somebody to ask me, couldn't they see, you know, couldn't they see I was hurting, and Bonnie, can I sponsor you? But no, of course not. That was not my path. You know, and part of my path was that I had to learn to be able to reach out. And I remember I recently ran across my first sponsors in another program, and I don't even remember, but I remember thinking, God, I'm going to ask somebody to sponsor, and they're going to ask me to give up potatoes. And I don't even know why I thought about, it wasn't even like potatoes was my favorite thing. But the lesson that I had to learn was that I had to be able to reach out and ask for help. You know, I had to be able to ask. You know, I had to be able to put my hand out and say, you know, are you willing to sponsor me? And that was the lesson I learned early on. And I don't even remember how we worked the steps. I later on got another sponsor and worked through the steps. I worked through the steps. We had some worksheets, and then I've worked through the steps doing the workbooks. And but I'm going to kind of concentrate really on the last few years and how I've been working my program. About a year and a half ago, in September of 2012, I've been up and down and had, many long periods of absence and longer periods of relapse. And it was in September of 2012, and I was on my way to my Saturday meeting thinking, oh, God, you know, I'm just so tired of this. I'm just tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And my husband had passed away in April that year, and I didn't get through that absently. I didn't get through it the worst I could have, but I just did the best I could. And so I was, again, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so I went to my Saturday meeting, and a speaker showed up, and she said just the things I needed to hear. She talked about, and she was in the program very similar to my story. She'd been in a long time, long periods of relapse, shorter periods of abstinence, and she had been abstinent for 3 years. And I wrote down, you know, some of the things that she had done. She had written a nightly 10-step. She committed her food every day. She gave up the methadone food, you know, those things that we think, you know, muffins like cake in disguise, those type of foods. She called her food changes, and she worked the steps in the big book. She prayed, and sponsor honesty. And I can't remember the third thing I wrote there. So, you know, so that started me on, and I've been abstinent since that time, so that started me on this new path, and I started doing these things. But the one thing that was kind of, you know, and I kept hearing this over and over again, work, you know, the steps in the big book. And, you know, I had done, years ago, before we had ROA literature, we did a lot of stuff in the big book. And we also have had, I don't know how many retreats, probably 5 different retreats, dealing with the big book. We've had some really wonderful retreat leaders, one of them sitting in this room that took us through the big book in the retreat. And so basically what happened was, so fast forward about the following year in September, again, I had been working my program, but something just wasn't right. And at this time, I wasn't even really sponsoring anybody. And what I had been doing with sponsors was taking them through the OA workbook. And I had gotten a new sponsor in October, brand new person to OA, never been in any 12-step program, and I was talking to my sponsor, and she said, well, you know, do the 30 questions. I said, okay. In the meantime, I had hooked up with a big book study that was online back east, and they were working the steps the way, the big book way. And so I was fascinated by this, and so I was listening to this meeting from back east. And there was a person on there that I knew from my area, and I asked her, you know, if she would sponsor me, if she would take me through these steps in the big book way. And so I started working the steps in the big book way. And some really interesting things have come out of this whole study that I've been doing with the big book. And I've been doing paragraph by paragraph writing and going through, working through the doctor's opinion, you know, working through steps 1, 2, 3 in the big book. And, you know, it's interesting. Tom brought up some interesting things. You know, one of the things about Dr. Bob is that he worked with 5,000 different people. 5,000. And, you know, so they didn't do a step a year. You know? As a matter of fact, they used to go upstairs and get down on their knees, and then they'd vote if they did the steps good enough. You know, Bill gave him a drink. He went and did surgery, and he went out and did his 9th step. You know, they didn't mess around. You know, they got through the steps, and then you took somebody else through the steps. And then this book was because they wrote this book, the first 100, because people in California didn't have the means. They had them in Ohio and New York, and they used to work these. There's nowhere in these first 164 pages they even talk about sponsor. Sponsor's not in there. You know, they worked the steps. This was a textbook for them to work the steps. So it's interesting, you know, the concept of sponsor. The other thing I've learned, too, is the idea of a food sponsor is a regional concept. It's not necessarily a concept, you know. The 12th step, and I'll do what Tom said he hates people to do when you're looking for looking for the part in here. But the 12th step, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics or compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Carry this message. It doesn't say carrying Bonnie's message or Tom's message. It's this message, the message, the spiritual awakening of, as a result of these steps. And that's one of the things I've been learning through listening to this big book study every day that I listen to, and my work through the big book is, you know, I used to think that abstinence and weight loss, you know, I would get abstinent, I'd think, wow, I did it. I have it. I've got this abstinence. You know, I don't know how many times I had that. The obsession lifted, and I was thinking, wow. But that's when I really need to put the metal to the pedal. That's when I really need to start working these steps. You know, because the object is to get through step 9, where you get those step 9 promises, where you are neutral about food. If you don't get to step 9 fast enough, you're going to get back into the food. And I can attest to that. You know, the object is to get through step 9 and then live in step 10, 11, and 12. And that is what I've really been learning through. And so it's pertinent that you get through these steps. Like Dr. Bob, you know, you don't just wait, you know, like me, oh, I did my 4th step and it had like 30 questions, which isn't that many. And then it took me like a year and a half to decide to give it to my sponsor, you know. And then the other thing that happens is, is people are so frightened of step four that, and step five, that once they get through that, they quit, you know? But there's like, there's some more steps after that. And I just did my fourth step the Big Book way. And I have to tell you, I was amazed. I did in another program, I'm at Al-Anon, but this is my main program. I did a worksheet that was like 175 questions that came from AA. And I tell you, that thing took me for years to do. And I did these resentment sheets. You know, I didn't have to write a big history about my resentment. It didn't have to take me a long time. You know, I could get through. And the amazing thing is, when I got it down on paper, I had these two resentments. Every Tuesday, I go up to my Al-Anon meeting in Auburn. And I got a fairly new car a year ago. And a year ago in May, somebody hit me. I was going through the slide. I had the right-of-way. Somebody hit me. So every week, I would go through that light, and I would get mad at my insurance company because I had to pay my $1,000 deductible, and it was a long story. I wasn't mad at whoever hit me. It was my insurance. Every week, I would replay this over and over and get mad at my insurance company, go to my meeting, and then on my way home, I would go by this bar where a friend of my husband's who kind of ditched him right before he died and was supposed to meet him for breakfast. And so I would play this over. How could JD do that to my husband was dying. It wasn't even me, you know. And so I book in these two resentments. Over a year, every Tuesday night, I would replay these resentments over and over. I mean, these aren't even big things, but I would replay them over and over and over. You know, like Joe and Charlie say, that resentment sheet, like that replay. Now they have it on baseball. You know, you see that replay and it gets bigger and bigger. So every week. But I put these down on paper, and every week now I can drive by those two places and I don't have those resentments. Just writing them out and sharing them with somebody. And really, it lightens your load. The fourth step, if you're afraid of doing the steps, it lightens your load. It really does. The other beautiful thing that happened was I blame my husband for everything. He was my scapegoat. If only he didn't do this, this, or this, I wouldn't have this weight problem. I wouldn't have these issues. Even though I was a compulsive reader before I met him. That was, you know, that didn't matter. Gary was my problem. He's been gone for, I swear to God, I share this story in my other meeting, but he died on a Saturday, and I was on my way to Al-Anon meeting on Tuesday night with my two little resentments, and I thought, he's dead. I don't have to go to Al-Anon anymore. And that is how crazy I am. Of course I have to go. You know, I'm still me. But I carried all these resentments. And I had done a lot of work around him, and actually, even before this Big Book in OA. I had done a lot of work. I had actually done amends. And through his death, I did some living amends. But I still kind of, I mean, I actually got kind of mad that he got cancer and kind of screwed up my retirement. Because we had these big plans. So I did this resentment sheet on my husband, and I swear, last week I have two grandsons that are graduating high school in a week, and I'm doing this slideshow, and I saw all these pictures of my husband with the grandkids. Anyway, I was just driving down the road, and I felt this just overwhelming love for that man. You know, this overwhelming love that I had buried with all my resentments. And so I'm just kind of giving a little pitch that if you're afraid, you know, to get a sponsor, to work the steps, you know, they really do lighten your load. So I got so I've been listening to this Big Book study, and I got these sponsees. And one of the things that they kept talking about over and over, it comes from New Jersey, but they have people all over the world, and it's recorded, and you can listen to it. I actually kind of get up early in the morning to listen to it. But a lot of people were like me. They'd been in the program 20, 30 years, and they kept talking about how many times they had done those 30 questions. How many times they had done those 30 questions. And that didn't get them abstinent. You know, I don't know how many different, I tried so many different things, besides actually working the steps, to get abstinent. I'm going to tell you, I even one time did, I thought, okay, do 90 meetings in 90 days. You see, here now I do 90 meetings in 90 days. I mean, I did a meeting with the phone meetings, because I like phone meetings, and I did those for a year, every day. But it didn't get me abstinent. You know, it's not 90 meetings in 90 days. It's working the steps. It's going through the steps. It's in the doctor's opinion, you know, believing that, and it's identifying the foods that I'm my addictive foods, the foods that I'm an addict to. You know, it's going through and then carrying this message, spiritual awakening. It's all in this book. This is the basic text, and it talks about the purpose of this book. It talks about what we need to do. And I love it, the way Bill takes us through. You know, he just builds it up, you know, the doctor's opinion, and then we hear Bill's story, and then, you know, and then he gets, and then all of a sudden he lays it on you, well, you know, you need a God. And it's like, oh, man, you know. But then we get to We Agnostics, which is, a lot of people don't even read that chapter. You know, it talks about the God within. You know, it's there's just great stuff in this book, and it's amazing to me. So I got this new sponsee, and I and she's never been in any program. So I said, okay, I'm going to take you through the big book, and I am amazed at what she is learning and what she is getting, just coming in. And that's the beauty of being a sponsor. You know, I'm in how at the end of how it works. You know, you have your sponsees in various stages of the book, so you're like getting the book every day, but and then the purpose is eventually to get into live in 10, 11, and 12. And I don't know how many I never heard that. You know, I need to live in 10, 11, and 12. You know, get through step 9, and I can live in 10, 11, and 12. So there's some pretty good stuff, and in there, because it talks in here. You know, there's a chapter on working with others. And when I first read that chapter, you know, I always kind of am judgmental in some of these chapters in here. But when I get, you know, I have to say that that has made the biggest difference in my big book study, too. For years, you know, when we had those wonderful retreat leaders, they were like reading the book to me, you know, and it was like a novel. But when I take, like Tom was talking about, each paragraph, and I write about each paragraph, and I write about what are they telling me. When I really write it down and I'm studying it like a text, that has taken me to another level in the big book. It has taken me to another level in my step work. You know, now I'm really trying to see what were those first 100 telling me. You know, I'm amazed when I read the doctor's opinion. I mean, you think about it. He says that he didn't know what to do with alcoholics. You know, he had basically given up. And yet he let Bill come in there and go talk, you know, because this program. So it's amazing to me that, you know, that Bill must have had something that he saw, that this doctor let him go work with the alcoholics in the hospital. And then in this book, there's a really neat thing about working with others that's kind of a synopsis of that chapter, because when you read that chapter, it talks about a lot about working with families and stuff. And I mean, to be honest, I haven't had any people's overeaters families come and talk to me about them, and I'm not sure that they would appreciate it. But, you know, the gist of it is that we're carrying the message. It's my story. You know, in the big book, there's a part there where, you know, Abby came, and that was the other thing. When I read the part about Abby and Bill, you know, I was really fascinated because I could really relate more to Abby's story than Bill, because Abby took the message to Bill. And then, but Abby didn't get sober like Bill did. You know, Abby went out, and AAers, really, I kind of did a little research, and AAers, they tried to get Abby sober. Oh, believe me. And he had periods of sobriety. But, and I thought, well, why didn't Abby? You know, it was kind of my story. I had those relapses, and part of it was that he didn't enhance his spiritual experience. Plus, he carried a resentment. He felt that he should have been the co-founder of AA. You know, so he carried that a resentment, and he didn't enhance his spiritual life, and he didn't work with others. I mean, everybody knows that story where Bill was telling Lois, you know, oh, I'm working with all these people, they're not getting sober, and Lois says, well, yeah, but you're sober. I mean, and that's the key. That's how working with others, you know, it was like shared earlier, people say they want you to be their sponsor, but they don't always call you back, you know. But the fact is that you are putting yourself out there to sponsor, you know, that you will work. And when all else fails, work with others. You know, if I'm thinking about food or I'm having troubles, you know, when all else fails, we work with others. That's part of our program. So anyway, it really tells us, and that's what it is in working with others. You know, it's us sharing our program, our experience, strength, and hope. We're not telling somebody else how to do it. We're just telling them what worked for us. We're just going through with what worked for us. You know, we're carrying this message. It's in this big book about how to work this program, and I'm just about done. I don't have much more to add. I just can't talk. It's just a wonderful way to do this program. And I didn't always used to enjoy sponsoring. Oh, that's the other thing. So I started sponsoring different. I used to meet with everybody in person, but I live out in the country quite a ways. But I've been doing a lot more of my work over the phone. And the other thing, I used to think, oh, you know, because we hear this, oh, should you be absent or not when you're working the steps? And I just think, well, it can't be bad working the steps. If, you know, the steps are good, you know, you should be able to do it even if you're not absent. But through listening to my big book study, and now, you know, if somebody gets back in the food, you know, I take them back to step one. I start all over again. You go back to step one. You know, you need to get abstinent to work the steps. You need to get abstinent. You need to get your butt in gear. Get to step nine so you can be in step 10, 11, and 12. You need to be abstinent. You need to identify the foods you're allergic to. You need to let those go. And you need to work these steps like your life depend upon it. Because our life does depend upon it. You know, I always say digging your grave with a knife and fork is not a pleasant way to go. I mean, I'm currently down 95 pounds, and I have a little bit more to lose. But, you know, I there was no top for me. There was no top. You know, it was always up, up, up. You know, there was a story we read today at our Saturday meeting about how much they loved, that food was their friend. And that's, you know, food was always there for me. I could always turn to the food. But, you know, I was digging my grave with a knife and fork. And the answers are in here. Thank you.